348, please, in your hymn book. 348. It's in the first, second, and the last verses. 348. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So happy in Jesus, the language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. I'm redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. I know the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guarded my footsteps, giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Child and forever I am. All right, great singing. Let's stand as we sing our last hymn this morning before the message, 105. 105, and on the last verse, our children can be dismissed. All three verses.
mighty counselor, almighty God. You are ancient of days, precious newborn King. I am. Shepherds came this blessed babe to see. Mary marveled at the mystery. Only simple faith would help them understand. He would be the crucified Lamb. And she sang to her sweet little lamb, "You are wonderful, little Prince of Peace, tiny counselor, almighty God. You are ancient of days, precious new. I am, you are, I am, you are."
Amen. Good to see the Martorellos back in town. Praise the Lord. Are you guys going to move back to New Jersey? Not yet, huh? You like it down there in the Carolinas. Well, I can't blame you for that. Open your Bibles this morning, please. The book of Micah, Old Testament prophet. Micah chapter 7. Verses 7 through 9. Micah chapter 7. Micah came from a small village southwest of Jerusalem. He wrote this sixth book of the Minor Prophets, and his name means "who is like unto the Lord." Micah chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. And stand with me in honor of God's word one more time as we read our opening scripture, Micah chapter 7, verses 7, 8, and 9. And you can read along with me. Micah chapter 7, verses 7, 8, and 9. "Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, when I fall. I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness." And let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the light of your word. We thank you for the gospel light. We thank you for the hope that is within us and the hope in the scriptures. And Father, even though we live in a dark day, we thank you for the hope that you give to us. May your will be done in our lives. Open the scriptures, especially the book of Micah, to us this morning, and we'll be sure to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Micah's name means "who is like unto the Lord." God raised up Micah to preach to the southern 2.5 tribes of Judah and also to Israel. During her period of the divided kingdom, Judah was called to preach. Micah was called to preach to Judah because of their sin and sinning. Judgment was about to fall on Israel. They're about to go into captivity. And the closer they get to being overtaken by the Syrian army, the louder the prophets preached. And the dial started being turned up louder and louder as God, willing to forgive, willing to cleanse, willing to stop the judgment. But Israel continued, as we know, as history tells us. But he preached during the time of King Hezekiah, And King Hezekiah's son, Father Ahaz. And he preached to these two kings and to the kingdom. And he lived in the same time as the prophet Isaiah. He lived in the same time as the prophet Amos. He lived in the same time as the prophet Hosea. And he had also along with them the unpopular message of the judgment of God that was to come. Unless Israel repented, unless Judah repented, judgment would fall. It's interesting that Jesus quoted Micah chapter 7 as he's instructing his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew. But the theme of Micah is that the lives of God's children should reflect God's standards. And God's people in Israel had gone so far away from what God wanted them to be, in their false worship, in their idol worship, and also in their daily lives, in their deceitfulness and lying and stealing and cheating, that judgment was about to come. And so Micah warns them. He warns them. And the powerful Syrian army invades the kingdom of Israel, destroys the beautiful capital city of Israel, Samaria, in 722 BC. And Israel is doomed for years and years of captivity and destruction. Micah also predicted the future glory of God's son, the Messiah. And he predicted the just rule of Jesus on this earth. He also predicted Jerusalem would be the main center of God's coming kingdom on earth. And he also foretold the birthplace of the Christ child to be born in Bethlehem. What do you do when the lights go out? You know, this week we marked the 1 month anniversary of Hurricane Sandy. 1 month ago, Sandy disrupted the lives of millions of people as the lights went out all up and down the east coast of America. Micah is preaching during a very dark time in Israel's history. As I said, God's judgment would soon fall on this favored nation that God raised up called Israel. God did bless Israel in many ways, but their light was about to go out. They would be taken captive very soon, taken to a strange land and learn a strange language and lose their freedoms. If they continued to walk according to the dictates of their heart, and they did. Israel at this point was a prosperous country. There was no signs of decay in that sense. But yet there was decay on the inside. They were rotten to the core on the inside. They were not reflecting God in their life. They were lying and cheating and stealing, taking advantage of one another. They lived lives of deception. There were people that were very rich taking advantage of those that were very poor. And God was not pleased. Micah was a prophet that went against the stream. He spoke that which the people did not want to hear. He cared about the unfortunate. He cared about the poor people that were being taken advantage of and oppressed. And their captivity was drawn close. And as captivity was drawn close, Micah's voice got louder. But yet they didn't want to be disturbed by his voice. They didn't want to hear that the wages of sin is death. You know, things haven't changed much today. People still don't want to hear that the wages of sin is death. Amen?
Amen.
But in any event, he had the only message that he had was one of discouraging. A discouraging message that he had to deliver. And yet he was faithful to God and delivered that message that no one wanted to hear. If you look at Micah chapter 1, if you're still there, if not, just listen. But as the book opens, it's very interesting how it opens in chapter 1 and verses 1 through 7. The word of the Lord that came to Micah, the Morathite of the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Hear, O all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is. And let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. And the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft as wax before the fire, and as the waters that are poured down a steep place. For the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Therefore I will make Samaria as a heap of the field, and as plantings of a vineyard. And I will pour down the stones thereof into the valley, and I will discover the foundations thereof. And all the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces, and all the hires thereof shall be burned with the fire, and all the idols thereof will I lay desolate, for she gathereth of the hire of a harlot, and they shall return to the hire of a harlot. What a message this man is called by God to deliver to the nation of Israel. Is it any wonder he wasn't loved? Is it any wonder that his message wasn't received very well? You know, America today needs a message like this. A message that denounces the sins of our nation, of our corrupt politicians, of those in high places that take advantage of others to make themselves wealthy.
Amen.
Oh, where are the messages today that we need to hear? Yes, Micah is preaching in very, very dark time in Israel's history. How fearless he is to deliver such a message. Where are the Micahs today? Where are the Micahs today that denounce the sins of our time? Where are the Micahs today that say abortion is murder? Where are the Micahs today that speak out against gay lifestyles according to Romans chapter 1? God says it's an abomination.
Amen.
Where are the prophets today that preach against pornography?
Amen.
A $1 billion industry that is as close as your computer screen or your wide screen, high definition color television set. Where are the prophets today that cry out against indecency and immodest dress? Where are the prophets today that speak against evil speaking and drug abuse today? We're living in a day that has legalized marijuana in the United States of America.
Amen.
I never thought I'd see that day. We're living in a day that legalizes sodomy. We're living in a day where a husband and a wife are in a minority in America today. We're living in a day where people just live together and they don't get married. We're living in a day, if you're a nuclear family, you are the minority.
Amen.
Where are the prophets today that stand for purity? Where are the preachers today that stand for honesty? Telling the truth, speaking the truth in love.
Amen.
Where are the preachers today that say if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat?
Amen.
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 Where are the preachers today that preach that freedom isn't free?
Amen.
We're free because people laid down their lives for us.
That's right.
On the battlefield. And we're free today because God has kept us free. We think we're always going to be free because we've always been free. I bring you the words of Micah this morning. Unless America repents, unless America turns around, we're going to lose our freedom.
Amen.
More and more.
Amen.
Unless God's people get right with God, we're going to lose our freedom. Where's the amen there? Where are the preachers that preach about loyalty and prayer, the importance of prayer and all that is right and taught in the Bible?
Amen.
Old people want to just come to church today, hear a little sermonette from a preacherette, go out and smoke their cigarette.
Amen.
Get a little 10-minute devotion, get a pat on the back and go home and see you next week, pastor. Oh, we need preaching today.
Amen.
What do you do when the lights go out? What do you do if God does judge America? What do God's people do if God pulls the plug on us?
Be patient until he puts it back on.
You know, you're very close. This young man is very close. He's a very bright young man. Point number one is acceptance. When you were a kid, you got in trouble with your mother or your father, and you were about to be disciplined. First thing that comes to your mind is acceptance. Amen? Got to take it. True faith accepts suffering as a part of life. If you're born again, you've got true faith. With true faith comes acceptance as a part of life. In Micah chapter 7 and verse number 9, Micah realizes that judgment's going to come. But yet we see in his voice, still he has hope in God. He has hope in the Lord. He says, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light. I shall behold his righteousness. Micah is saying, even though judgment is falling, I still have hope in God. Each of us at times walk among people with broken hearts, don't we? Micah realizes that soon everyone around him, their heart's going to be broken. And yet in his voice we see hope. Yet in his voice we see his faith in God. Amen. You know, our faith needs to be in God. Some of you may not like who the new president is. Some of you may have wanted someone else. Don't put your hope in man.
Amen.
Put your hope in God.
Amen. Amen.
Any man is just a man. And sooner or later, even that person can let you down. But put your trust in the Lord.
Amen.
True faith helps us to accept bad news. Amen? True faith in the Lord helps you to accept when bad news comes. And bad news does come to good people.
Amen.
We could sense in Micah's voice the faith that he has in spite of the time in which he's living. Bad news, bad circumstances. Maybe this morning you are going through a rough time. Maybe there's a rough patch in your road. Do you know what? If you know the Lord, you're going to make it.
Amen.
You're going to make it. What do you do when the lights go out? Well, acceptance. You have to accept it. Amen. You have to accept it. Nothing's going to change it. You have to go through it. You say, Pastor, I thought by being a Christian that I'd never have a hard time again. No, he gives you grace to go through the hard times. He's someone that you can trust and lean upon in the hard times.
Amen.
Acceptance. Number two, adherence. Faith continues to follow without deviation during hard times. Adherence. You can continue to be faithful in the midst of darkness, in the midst of dark times. Micah says, I'm going to wait for the Lord of my salvation. Now he could say that because his faith was real.
Amen.
Well, we live in uncertain times, that's for sure. But you know what? If you put your trust in the Lord, you do your best to walk with the Lord, you're going to be fine.
Amen.
Now, people around you may not be fine. Unsaved people may have some hard, difficult times without the same comfort that you have. But you're going to make it. In Acts chapter 27, I'd just like you to turn there, please. The Apostle Paul experiences life and death also on the high seas. He's on a prison ship. He's being taken for trial for preaching the gospel. And we read about a life and death situation and a great adventure in sea as his ship is being tossed by the wind and driven by the wind. Acts chapter 27 and verse number 29. Actually, let's go back to Verse 26 gives you an idea of the story. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, in the middle of a big storm, for 2 weeks at sea in the middle of a storm, when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. I'll tell you, they were in a big storm. Notice verse 14 of the same chapter. Not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, and we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. That means they threw overboard everything to make it light. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. They threw out the tackles of the ship and the ropes and everything else. And they are battling for their lives. As a last resort, from the stern of the ship, they throw out four anchors and they hope for day. Now the stern is the back of the ship. I know that because I looked it up this week. I always wondered about that. I probably should have asked Bobby. He could have told me, right, Bobby? Now, what's the front of the ship called?
The bow.
The bow. See that? You learn something new every day. Your bow. Bow is the front, stern is the back. So, if you miss the sermon, at least you'll know about fishing this morning. Amen?
Amen.
But there was no escaping the storm. They threw overboard everything that they could to make it light. And the ship, then, as a last resort, they threw out the four anchors and they waited for the outcome. And notice it's at midnight, in total darkness. You know, you really can't tell by looking at a ship if it's seaworthy or not. That's why I would never buy even a little rowboat without someone going with me to tell me if it's okay or not, because I don't know anything about it. They can both look good at a glance. They can look alike. You might not even notice if looking at a boat going down the river, if it even has all the equipment it's supposed to have. Just by looking at the outside, it might not even have an anchor to it. You don't know. It might not have a backup engine. But as they lighten the ship, they're throwing over important stuff. The rigging, the ropes, all kind of everything. Boxes, food supplies, everything. Why? Because they're fighting for their lives. And what will men not throw overboard to save their lives? People will do amazing things to stay alive in life and death situations. And here, they want to make the ship lighter. They throw overboard everything. Over the rail. Now, somebody who doesn't know much about the sea might question the fact that they were throwing overboard all of these important things that they needed. And why keep those four ugly anchors as last? Why keep them? And yet many people in the world today have the same thinking about spiritual things. Amen?
Amen?
They've discarded the Bible from their life. The first thing to go. Overboard. And yet the Bible is the very thing the man needs for hope. Amen?
Amen.
Our book is a book of hope. If you are without hope today, you need to go back to that lost treasure, the Bible. Reclaim it. Don't put your hope in politics. I listen to the news and I get worried. This physical cliff. We could be in for some very interesting times in our day. Amen? Don't put your trust in money.
No.
Especially paper money.
Amen.
Buy a few silver coins, maybe. 1964 or older, they will always be worth something. Don't put your hope in things or man. They are poor substitutes for the real hope. We have a hymn that we sing here. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to that rock which cannot move. Anchored deep in the Savior's love. Amen?
Amen.
If you throw your anchor overboard, you need it again. You got to go back to the place where you lost it. Maybe you've lost everything you valued. Maybe you've lost your money, your friends, your security. Maybe you've lost stock or your home equity. But if your anchor is in Christ and the Word of God, you will make it through. You know, when they had the great stock market crash, the last generation, the people that jumped out of the high-rise windows were people that did not have faith in anything else. Their hope was in their stocks and their bonds and their money.
Amen.
The Christian didn't jump out of the window. He opened the window and prayed. Amen?
Amen.
There's a big difference in hoping and knowing. The Christian knows some things. It's foolish for a farmer in England to say, I hope to be king of England one day. But the king's son, the prince, can say the same thing and not sound foolish. Amen?
Amen.
Are you saying, I hope my anchor holds? Or are you saying, I know my anchor holds? Amen? What are you trusting in the most? If it's the Word of God, then you have an anchor to your soul.
Amen.
And God will see you through anything. Because all things work together for good to them that love God. You name the difficulty, God will see you through it. Even if we live in a nation that's going to be judged more and more as the days go by, you and I will still make it through. And we are, make no mistake about it, we are being judged by God as a nation.
Amen.
We are. So we have acceptance, adherence, and number three, anticipates. Faith anticipates. Even in Micah's stern message of judgment on the nation, we feel in his voice hope. Because his faith is in God, and he knows that Israel has to go through that. But yet, he foretells the brighter times. He talks about the future. When the lights go out, true faith anticipates. And Micah shows us his faith. Even though he has to deliver this unpopular message. Can you imagine having to be the one to give this message? I mean, there is nothing good in that message. There is nothing encouraging in that message. There is nothing but bad news in that message. Turn to God or the nation will be destroyed. Tough message. But yet he delivered it. Israel did not listen. Judah did not listen. And as history records, they did go into captivity. Two ships can look alike, but one can sink in the storm. The same is true of people and appearances. The storm reveals if there is faith or not in a person.
Amen.
If a person doesn't have genuine faith, he's going to go down. We have an anchor that keeps the soul. Does your anchor hold in the storms of life? I'm so glad that we can recommend to people, Jesus, the Savior of the world, He's the anchor to the soul. Not a religion, but a personal relationship with the living Savior.
Amen.
The one who walks with us. He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I'm His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Amen?
Amen.
Does your anchor hold? Have you misplaced it? Are you someone that dusts off your Bible and brings it to church every week? That might be why you worry so much. Maybe you're here this morning as a visitor and you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I recommend to you this morning that you do not put it off any longer. He is the one and the only way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, the sad thing is that many Americans have heard that. And yet they live their own life alienated from God. They don't enjoy God. They don't enjoy His presence. They don't open His Word. They don't pray. And it looks as though that they're without hope. Maybe this morning, if you've never come to that point in your life, you'd listen to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to you. And accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord. Make Him your Master and Lord of your life this morning. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for Your patience with us. Lord, we do pray for our nation this morning. As we go through difficult times, we need You. Lord, we need revival in our churches. We need Your blessings. I pray this morning that You'd have Your will done in our lives, but especially if there's anyone here among us this morning that has never truly had the assurance that they've passed from death into life, that this morning that they would come to that place and realize that Christ died on the cross, shed His blood for their sins personally, went to the cross with their name on His mind, on His heart, willing to pay the debt that He didn't owe so that they could be righteous in the sight of God and have the righteousness of Jesus. Amen. Be delivered from death and destruction and have eternal life in an eternal home with an eternal loving Savior. This morning, if you're here and you've never come to that point, I'd urge you this morning to just call out in faith to Jesus. Say, Lord, I want You personally to come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I'm trusting only in You. As our pianist plays this morning, we start God's invitation this morning. Maybe right where you're seated, God has spoken to your heart as a Christian. Just talk to Him about whatever it is He's spoken to your heart about. Maybe you've been neglecting your Bible, neglecting your prayer closet. God is trying to get your attention. Maybe you've been worrying so much that it takes over your life. Matthew 6:33 is still in the Bible. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Put Him first in your life, and He'll make everything else work out. Heavenly Father, may Your will be done this morning, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our hymn book, please, to 546. 546. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Sing the first and the last verse. If you like like to come for prayer for any reason at all this morning, you may come as we sing 546. From an old-fashioned preacher.
Amen.
I'd rather give a better message this morning, but that was on my heart.
Amen.
And we do need to take a stand against that which is wrong and stand up for that which is right.
Amen.
So let's be dismissed in word of prayer. And for those of you that can make it tonight, 6 p.m. is our evening service, followed by a time of fellowship. And Robert, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we